Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cherub CDH Radio.
Well, hi, everyone. This week we are featuring Cherub Tyler Clyde, and his mom, Hope, is guesting on our show today. Hope, are you there?
I am.
It is good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm so good. It's good to talk to you.
Well, we are really excited to hear about Tyler's story because it is quite a story, and you even have some recent updates on his story. But let's get started at the very beginning. Tell us about the day you heard those three little letters.
Oh, it was an awful day. I mean, we went to our doctor here in southern Utah, and he's a close family friend, and he we had done a follow-up ultrasound. It was a 22-week ultrasound, and he called us to come in, and we went in, and he said, you know, I hate to give this news to anyone, but especially people I love. He said, but the baby didn't develop right. There are some problems, and you need to go to Salt Lake to see a specialist up there, which is 5 hours away for us. And I was like, okay, that's fine, like, for next month, right? And he said, this is a Friday afternoon. And he said, no, I made an appointment for you Monday at 9 a.m. And it's like, oh, no, this really is serious. So he didn't talk to us about the diagnosis. We waited till we got to Salt Lake, and the doctor in Salt Lake, the maternal fetal medicine doctor up there, was the one that explained to us what CDH was. And I'll never forget that the moment that it got real for us is when we walked into that maternal fetal medicine doctor's office and we saw pictures of sick babies all over. And it was just so surreal for us because as far as we knew, we just had no clue. So we walk in and we see babies on, you know, pictures of babies on oxygen and, you know, on ventilators and all of, you know, hooked up to everything. But these are thank you notes that parents had sent to these doctors saying, you know, thank you for saving my child's life. And I remember looking up to Randy, we looked at each other and we're like, why are we even here? And that's when life changed. You know, the before CDH life and the after CDH life, that was October 1st, 2001, and we'll never, ever forget that date, ever.
Now, the week before that, your life was, you had a young daughter at home, so Tyler's not your first, so you also had another child to worry about, correct?
Yes, Madison
was
two.
What was life like before? Yeah.
Well, Madison was two. In fact, her birthday was the day before our doctor told us that our baby was going to be sick. So truly blissful. I mean, we own our home. Randy's job was good. I was a stay-at-home mom. We had this adorable curly-haired two-year-old. I mean, truly life was absolutely ideal in every way. And so to say that, you know, things got shaken up quite a bit after October 1st, that's an understatement for sure.
Wow. And, okay, so now you have a diagnosis. What did you do? When did you find help, and where did you go after you left the office and after that moment?
We are so blessed because that doctor in Salt Lake that day said to us as we were leaving, I mean, I took a notebook. My doctor had instructed us to take a notebook and write down everything because you're not going to remember it. So just write down everything. Well, as we were leaving the maternal fetal medicine's office, we had met with a genetic counselor, and then we were back with the doctor. And as we were leaving, he said, wait, he said, when you get home, okay, remember, this is 2001. Like, it was still dial-up internet days. So
yeah.
I didn't have a phone that I could just Google stuff. But he said, when you get home, I want you to Google cherubs, as in angels, cherubs. And he really emphasized cherubs. And he said, that's where you're going to need to go to get all current information. That's where you need to be, cherubs. Tell you, from day one, we have never been alone. We have had the support of cherubs from the very minute we found out what was going on. So, you know, back in those days, there was the old website with the balloons that had all the medical terms and the silver lining. And I memorized that website. I'm telling you, every word on that website, I knew. I learned how to pronounce all the medical terms. I thought, you know, I can't be the doctor for my child and possibly help save my child's life, but I'm going to be able to talk to these doctors and specialists. I don't want them running over me with information. I want to be able to run with them and know the terminology, the percentages, and everything. So that's the one thing that I took seriously, and I just went for it 100%. I had to learn everything.
Wow. Yeah, I just had a flashback when you were talking about the website. Totally forgot about the balloons and all of that. That was a very long time ago.
Yes,
wow.
It was.
Wow. So what happened? How did you prepare for birth? Did family and friends rally around? Did you have a baby shower? What did you guys do?
Oh, no. No baby shower. No. I mean, when, you know, you're given the odds of 50% chance of survival, I heard 50% chance of survival. I didn't hear, I didn't hear the negative side. I just heard survival. But the realist in me, for me, and I know so many people that do different when they get a diagnosis, but for me, we did not have baby showers. We did not set up the nursery. I mean, we had to move up to Salt Lake to have Tyler. And so we, you know, leave our beautiful southern Utah desert climate and move up. And you have to, it was right when the Olympics were in Salt Lake, so it was snowy and gross. I mean, Tyler turns 15 on the 24th of January. So this time of year, it's very significant in our family. But, you know, we educated everyone as much as we could. We took the car seat that Madison had used. We took the diaper bag that she had. And we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl. We never find out with our children. So we bought a boy onesie and a girl onesie, and we put them in the diaper bag. Truly, that's all we took with us, because I did not want to have stuff to bring home if I wasn't bringing a baby home. So it was very minimalist. I couldn't set things up. I couldn't have things unless my odds were better in our favor.
That makes sense. I totally understand that. Now, can you tell us about the day that Tyler was born?
Yeah, it was crazy. There's so many doctors and nurses. We had to have him at a hospital that was next to, we had him at University of Utah Hospital, and right next door is Primary Children's Hospital. So they actually transport them over this little walkway. And I had our first daughter, I had her C-section, and so we knew Tyler would be a repeat C-section. And like I said, we didn't know if we were having a boy or a girl, so we, you know, go into this operating room, and thankfully we had, we had it scheduled. Everything was scheduled. Everything was set up. All the right people were there. You know, our family had traveled up there. And, you know, you go in for surgery, and once, you know, I didn't really see, as soon as Tyler was born, I just saw him being passed through a window to the waiting team on the other side of the wall, and they worked on him there, and then they took him over to Primary Children, and it seemed really calculated and very planned out. It wasn't spontaneous and fun, and it was nothing like the birth of our other children. It was very careful, calculated, planned out. Just every detail was in place, and it worked just exactly how it should. So that was good.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Well, as a mom, can you kind of prepare our expectant moms on the emotional roller coaster of waiting the pregnancy out and going through the birth and waiting to see your child the first time? And because I know it's hard to explain, because unless you've been through it, it's just, but what do you wish someone would have told you that you didn't know?
What do I wish someone would have told me? Honestly, Dawn, I searched and read every tiny piece of information that Cherubs had out. So I feel like I was completely prepared in every way. I really do feel like I was totally prepared. The first time that I was wheeled into his room, I mean, it was quite an ordeal to get me from one hospital over to the other hospital, fresh after having your abdomen cut open. You know, I mean, it's not fun. And so when you wheel in to the NICU and you see just, I mean, a whole wall full of machines and medicines, and then you see this baby. I mean, he was average size. He was 7'10". It wasn't like he was this little tiny newborn. You know, it's like a little preemie type of, I mean, he was a good size. But to kind of go in there that very first time, there's really no way to prepare for that, because, I mean, it's your baby. Like, you don't, there's no way anyone could have told me what that felt like, because there's just no way to know until you've gone through it. But my thing is, with our experience, the way things have gone for us, I know that it doesn't go like this all the time, but my goal has always been to spread hope and encouragement and to let people know that, you know, even as bad as it is, as horrible CDH is, and it is always going to be a dark cloud hanging over your head no matter what journey you go on with CDH, there's always going to be hope. There's always going to be the friendships you make. If, you know, we take that very serious in our family. We want to enlighten people and just give them hope and let them know that there are miracles that can happen and do happen. And, you know, you never know who's going to survive. I mean, Tyler was the sickest of the sickest. On day 3, I mean, they just basically told us, you know, there's no chance that this child is going to survive. But somehow he did. And then he had his surgery, and somehow he never, like, they have a honeymoon phase that they talk about, and then they get sicker after the honeymoon. You know, they'll kind of rally after surgery. Well, he never dipped after surgery. He just kept getting better and kept getting better and better. And it just seemed to be really amazing things that we were able to watch happen. And then on day 28, we got to come home. We got to come home on day 28. They had told us, they had prepared us for a 4 to 6 month stay in the NICU. And then who knows however much longer before we'd be able to come home, depending on how things went. So we were prepared to stay in Salt Lake indefinitely. We didn't know. But here we were on day 28 driving home with our baby. It's a miracle. There's miracles all around us.
That is absolutely amazing. Now, tell us a little bit about his initial surgery. What type of repair did he have? Did he have to have Gore-Tex, or was it sutures, or any idea how much diaphragm is in there?
Oh, his diaphragm was almost completely absent. Those are the words that the surgeon used, almost completely absent. So they put in a Gore-Tex patch, a large Gore-Tex patch. And, you know, we knew as much as we could about Gore-Tex. Like, we knew that they could use muscle or they could use Gore-Tex. And obviously when it's really big, they have to kind of improvise. And so Tyler got the Gore-Tex patch. And as he grew, we got home. And as he grew and started to, he was about 3 months old. And when he would cry, you could hear a slapping sound. He has left-sided PDH. And on his left side, you could hear a slapping sound, like as if we were slapping his skin. That's what it sounded like. When he would cry, it would slap. And I remember it was very, very concerning to my best friend. When she would hear it, she would just cringe, and she would say, this is not normal. Like, I don't think this is something that should be overlooked. And, of course, we were going to the doctor, and we were having him checked out. Well, we watched on x-ray about the three-month mark. We watched his diaphragm start to bubble up. You know, things started to kind of crowd back up into his chest. His heart and lungs were starting to squish again. You know, we had been making good progress. And when he was 4 months old, one day he started crying. And he wouldn't stop. And after 5 hours of listening to my baby cry and not knowing what to do, Randy and I took him to the ER here in St. George and said, you know, we need to get some x-rays done. And at this point, Tyler's still on oxygen. And so we have our little pulse oximeter and our oxygen tank and everything. I mean, it was quite a process to take him anywhere. And we took him into the ER, and, you know, we were very insistent that they get some images done right away. Well, so they ran x-rays and found that everything was back up in his chest again. So, unfortunately, we couldn't get a plane fast enough in St. George to get to Salt Lake, so they threw us in an ambulance. And poor Randy, I mean, he was behind us going 95 up the freeway, just hanging on for dear life that he could follow the ambulance fast enough and hope he didn't get pulled over. But, you know, we got up to Salt Lake, and the specialist ran tests and looked at everything. And sure enough, his diaphragm had re-herniated. So at 4 months old, here we go again. Here goes my baby getting cut open again. He's back on the vent. He, at the time, at 4 months old, he was starting to sit up. Well, not now. He's back in a bed. He's down. He, you know, we're starting all the way over. And it was devastating. It was devastating. It's the worst thing we could ever imagine. But on miracles, even when they took his breathing tube out after surgery, he didn't want to breathe, and they had to work with him extensively to get him to breathe. But we watched these miracles stack on top of each other, and 2 weeks later, we got to bring him home again. Still on oxygen, still on reflux meds, but we'll take it. I mean, truly, we were just counting our blessings. We were so happy just to be home in our sunny southern Utah and be home. I mean, we were so grateful, so grateful.
Well, we only have 10 minutes left before the show ends, and they will cut us off. So I'm going to speed you through quite a bit because Tyler has so much more to his story.
Yes.
So he was doing really well after that, and how long before he came off oxygen and was quote unquote, you know, normal baby again?
He was great. As soon as we got home, he was doing really good, meeting milestones, doing everything wonderful. He got off oxygen when he was 11 months old. And, I mean, he just never slowed down. He ran with the other kids. We had him in gymnastics, in wrestling, in baseball. I mean, he would be playing, and he would be the last one off the playground. He would be the last one to give up. I mean, he just really was strong and wonderful. We had a lung function test done when he was 6. And not only was there full lung tissue that was showing, but there was full function of both lungs. And, I mean, so everything just couldn't have been better. Just he has always been, unless you see him with his shirt off or you know his history, you would have never, ever known he was any different than any other kid. And that's how it went. I mean, it was 14 years. Everything was so awesome, so great. Well, last year he started getting some stomach aches. And so we take him to the doctor. We try some different meds. You know, everything's looking okay. You know, it's one of those things like he's a normal teenage boy, and sometimes he doesn't take his reflux medicine. And the kind of mom I am, I'm like, well, take your medicine or it's going to hurt you. So if, you know, like, get it together, kid. Well, on July 16th, his stomach aches got bad enough that he asked us to take him to the emergency room. And it was a Saturday, and, you know, he's like, I know we can't go to the doctor, but my stomach is really a problem. There's something wrong. And so we went to our ER down here, and they ran a CAT scan, and the ER doc came in, and just as frank as he could be, said the words that we never wanted to hear again. He said, yep, CAT scan shows that he's re-herniated again. And I felt our life just suck out of that room, just completely sucked out of the room. I mean, and I could see the look on Tyler's face because now, guess what? He's 14 at this point. This was in July. And he knows what that means. So we went to Salt Lake. We met with the surgeons up in Salt Lake. Thankfully, his respiratory situation was fine. So the surgeon was confident that this was not a new re-herniation. She didn't know when it happened, but it was not shifting or going anywhere. So we scheduled surgery a few weeks later. He went in for surgery, long surgery, 6-hour surgery, very complicated, very delicate. He came out of surgery and came right off of the vent. They had us prepared that he could be on the vent up to 5 days. He came off 2 hours after surgery, which was just unheard of. So he gets off the vent. He does really good in the hospital. We drive the 5 hours home. We get home, and after a few days, he develops a seroma. It's a pocket of fluid. Huge, like the size of a bread pan. But so that complicated his recovery, but here we are now, 6 months after surgery, almost 6 months after surgery, and things are just so good. Again, we've been given this miracle. He's been given life again, and we're ready to take on the world. There's a new renewed energy. There's a fire behind us that we've never felt before that we need to get the word out. We need to let people know. We need to make personal connections with people. We need to beg for funding. We need to get more research done. We're ready. And we feel a responsibility to do this and to do it now.
Well, you guys have always felt that responsibility. The first time that I met you, and Tyler was a lot shorter than me, can't say that anymore. Yeah, you guys have, you know, since the very first conversation I had with you, you guys have been very gung-ho, and Tyler's always, he just, like, emits this energy that he has such purpose for being here, and I can just feel he's going to do amazing things, and the way that you've raised him to give back and help other kids and help the cause and the responsibility that he has being a survivor, hope. You know, I've told you this, I don't know how many times before, but if we could get every family to feel that, imagine how quickly we could get rid of CDH.
Yeah.
I just want to bottle that energy and just give it to everyone. Well, we are going to see you, and everyone can see that energy when we come to Utah in a couple of months.
Oh, I can't wait.
We are so excited to be there this year and to have there in Salt Lake City and along with the University of Utah, and a lot of our volunteers will be there and researchers and the geneticists, and we are just really, really excited. This will be your first conference, and we're really excited to have you. And as a volunteer, it's great to have you on board, too. And I'm talking fast because we only have 2.5 minutes left.
Yes, I understand.
But, is there anything else that you would like to tell everyone?
You know, just keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. There's, no matter what you're going through right now, this very second, there's someone that understands. And when you are a part of Cherubs, that's exactly where you need to be. There is someone always that understands what you are going through. You're never alone. You're never alone.
Oh, well, that's the whole reason we were started, so I love hearing that. Well, please give Tyler a hug and tell him that I said happy birthday from all of us. And
I
am
sure will.
So proud of how well he has handled the last 6 months, because I know it has not been easy going through surgery at 14, but he is such an amazing kid, and I'm so honored to know all of you, and I will see you in 6 months from now.
Yeah,
thank
holy
you,
cow.
Hope, for everything
you.
That you do, and we will see you online.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you, Hope. She's amazing, and her energy comes across on the phone and the podcast so well. But in person, it's no wonder that Tyler has such great energy, because both his parents are just incredibly amazing. The whole family is. And he also has two little healthy sisters, so there is definitely life after a CDH diagnosis, and thank you, Hope, for absolutely everything you do, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to another podcast, another CDH News podcast, and a featured cherub, and we will be back next week with another cherub. If you would like to volunteer to be featured, please email us at CPAB, that's CPAB, at cherubs.org. Till next time, I'm Dawn Ireland. Bye.
Welcome to Cherub CDH Radio.